There are reports today that U.S. Navy SEAL teams raided a facility of a suspected al-Shabaab terrorist who might have been involved in the bloody Nairobi, Kenya mall attacks last month. Also, Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel formally announced over the weekend that Special Operations Forces attacked a neighborhood in Tripoli, Libya, taking into custody Nazi Abdul Hamid al-Rukai, who has been a suspect in U.S.-targeted al-Qaeda operations for more than a decade and a half. We're joined by Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff. He represents California's 28th District and is a member of the U.S. House of Representatives Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Congressman, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Now, for some who are very, very down in the weeds on this, Nazi Abdul Hamid al-Rukai is referred to by his sort of terrorist name as Abu Anas al-Libi. How important is he, do you think?
Well, he's very important in a couple of respects. He had a major role in the embassy bombings in the 1990s. But I also think he's important in sending a message that it may take us a long time to track you down, but we will never stop. And that kind of perseverance, I think, is a very important part of our counterterrorism policy and lets people know they'll be held accountable. So it was a big and risky operation, a gutsy thing for the administration to do and for those who participated in it, and glad to learn it was successful.
Now, where did you stand on the military strike against chemical weapons in Syria, Congressman Schiff?
Well, I thought that the United States should work with the international community and try to enforce this international sanction. I had a great deal of concern about our going it alone. And I think actually where we are right now is probably the best that could be imagined, that we have a UN-organized process of dismantling and destroying that chemical weapons infrastructure. So I think it was certainly a rocky start and a uncertain course that got us here, but the fact that these chemical weapons can be taken off the battlefield now and in the future is a unmitigated positive.
All right. Now, I'm not trying to play Mr. Debater here or put words in your mouth, but it sounds to me like you were opposed to a military strike on the basis of chemical weapons in Syria, but apparently you have no problem with boots on the ground in Tripoli, Libya, or in Somalia?
Well, I think that targeted counterterrorism operations are not only appropriate, but very necessary. And here, you know, where the alternative is using drones that can potentially involve loss of civilian life, it's a tough decision to make because it puts our own people's lives at risk. But happily, in both occasions, we had no casualties. And with a successful operation in Libya, we now have the intelligence value that can be gained from interrogating the suspect, as well as the possibility of bringing about justice for those who were the victims of those two bombings.
Would you describe this as an extraordinary rendition, precisely the same kind of capturing of a suspect that went on during the Bush administration?
Well, you know, it's certainly extraordinary. It differs in significant respects, though. This suspect is not going to be brought to a black site. There's going to be no use of anything approaching torture. So I think it's very significant that the practices under the last administration have been cut off very sharply. Nonetheless, we will gain intelligence value from the interviews and interrogations that go on and the ability to try and prosecute them and uphold our system of justice, I think, will be very significant as well and a strong departure from the past practices.
In general, are you satisfied with the level of pre-approval that the president has right now on operations of this kind? It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of congressional authorization here, although you were briefed on this operation, yes?
Well, we haven't been briefed on it yet. I mean, they keep these operations very close to the vest, and I imagine we'll be briefed on it tomorrow. We were out of session over the last 24 to 30 hours when the operation took place, but I imagine that we'll get a full briefing on it. You know, it's a tough call, obviously, in order to make sure that operationally, nothing is tipped. They really need to keep this very close. It's possible that they apprised the chair and ranking member of both intelligence committees, but in an operation this sensitive, that may not have even taken place until after the fact.
Let's shift to the government shutdown a little bit, which I imagine is just as frustrating to you as it is to some of your colleagues. I'm wondering, you know, the president has made some noise that he will continue to run certain aspects of the government. Chuck Hagel is calling back employees to the Pentagon. I'm wondering if there's a scenario here where the president can just commander-in-chief this out of the way, bring the National Guard to open Yosemite National Park, for instance, and just bypass the whole thing altogether.
I don't think so. You know, the president has used the authority of his office in many areas where the Congress has proved incapable of acting. You know, on the issue of gun safety, for example, and Congress proved it wouldn't take action in the wake of all these shootings. The administration did, and that's been, unfortunately, a very common scenario. But here, there's no substitute for the Congress doing its work and reopening the government. As a legal matter, I think he'd be on very skeptical footing. Precarious footing to send in the guard or reopen in violation of the law pertaining to government shutdowns. And you know, those that are clamoring for the repeal of Obamacare and are willing to take us over the cliff of defaulting on our debt would be the first to sound the alarm of impeachment should the president do anything that they considered in violation of the rules on government shutdown.
Finally, how close to the bone are we on intelligence operations? Is there a scenario you could envision where some intelligence operative was in a safe house, needed to be moved, needed to be paid, and they had to be told, sorry, government shutdown, you're just going to have to stay there, and boom, maybe we lose that asset as a result, Congressman Schiff?
Well, you know, whenever you have furloughed 70% of the civilian workforce, there are going to be real repercussions. I would hope in a scenario like the one you described, that the agencies would decide that that was essential to protect life and property. So I think those kind of situations are probably covered, but it may mean that we're taking our eyes off of other less imminent threats. It may be we're putting less of a focus on Russia and China, things that aren't, you know, imminently likely to present a threat to person and property. But nonetheless, you know, given the dangers of cyber theft and cyber intrusion, we pay a real cost if we take our eye off the ball. So absolutely going to be operational impacts, but I would hope that the agencies liberally interpret the risks to life and property such that those core areas are covered.
Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff represents California's 28th District and is a member of the U.S. House of Representatives Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.